You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, August 11, 2026. Step by step, Northeast gas projects move forward, one step at a time. Published by Lisa Scheidler. Efforts to move more natural gas into gas-starved New England are picking up steam. Enbridge recently said the open season for its Project Beacon, an expansion to the Algonquin Gas Transmission, or AGT, system into and through New England, fared better than expected and remains a top priority. At the same time, DT Midstream is moving ahead with one expansion of its Millennium Pipeline, which moves Marcellus-Utica gas to a key AGT interconnection, as it weighs a much larger one. In today's RBN blog, we'll update Project Beacon status and dig into the two Millennium projects that will help boost supplies to New England. As we discussed in Movin' Out, Marcellus-Utica producers have wanted to send more gas into New England for years, but most big expansion projects have, until relatively recently, hit massive resistance. Regulators and elected officials are now more open to brownfield projects that build on existing infrastructure, especially if they help reduce the need for diesel-fired power during peak winter demand. The nearby Marcellus Utica still has plenty of gas to meet rising demand, but more production only matters if the pipeline capacity exists to move that gas to market. For a deep dive into the Northeast gas market and how it may be poised for a reawakening, see our recently published drill-down report, Wake Me Up. Let's start with a bit of background. In September 2025, Enbridge, owner of the 3.1 BCF per day AGT system that stretches from New Jersey to eastern Massachusetts, sanctioned the development of the AGT enhancement. The project, scheduled for completion in late 2028, is designed to ease constraints along the 1,130-mile system and increase its capacity during peak demand periods by 75 million cubic feet per day. This project involves, number 1, installation of about 3 miles of new 36-inch diameter looping pipeline, i.e., parallel piping, along the AGT system near Burrillville, Rhode Island. Number 2, replacing more than 8 miles of existing 16-inch pipeline in Massachusetts, Norfolk and Worcester counties and Rhode Island's Providence County with 36-inch pipe. Number 3, adding more than 2 miles of 12-inch looping pipeline in Newport County, Rhode Island. Number 4, making software improvements to AGT's existing compressor station in Cromwell, Connecticut. In February, Enbridge asked the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, to use its pre-filing process to expedite the project's review. The commission approved that request. The company's formal filing for a FERC Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, or CPCN, to build the project is in the works. Also, the Massachusetts Department of Public Utilities, or DPU, has approved the 10-year precedent agreements between AGT and two New England utilities, NSTAR Gas and Eversource Gas of Massachusetts, that underpin the project. That brings us to Project Beacon. Enbridge's AGT enhancement project is the opening act for this much larger project. Project Beacon could add another 300 million cubic feet per day of capacity to the system, and possibly more, by late 2030 through a series of physical and operational improvements. Enbridge hasn't provided specifics, but Project Beacon may well include replacing existing pipe with larger diameter pipe, installing looping along parts of the system, and adding compression. In its Q2 earnings call on July 31, Enbridge CEO Greg Ebell said the company's Project Beacon open season, which ran through July 1, significantly exceeded our initial expectations. Click here for a primer on open seasons. While this is positive news for Enbridge, there's a lot of work to do. Ebell said the company is working with utility, power, and data center customers to advance the project toward binding commitments while also moving through the permitting process, with more updates expected later this year. Matthew Ockman, Executive Vice President and President of Gas Transmission at Enbridge, said the open season reinforced the need for more capacity into New England, citing affordability, reliability, lower emissions, compared with using diesel for power generation, and lower energy costs more broadly. He said studies suggest the project could save utility customers in New England more than $700 million/year, depending on its final size. Given its potential size and scope, Project Beacon will be a test of how open New England officials are to expanding pipeline capacity in the energy-challenged region. Our bet is that AGT's likely approach of limiting system improvements to its existing rights of way, combined with New England's clear need for more inbound capacity, will help the project win needed approvals, though the effort is unlikely to be friction-free. Ockman said permitting remains the biggest obstacle, Of course, there's a lot of hurdles to pass. As you all know, permitting is the number one thing there. He said the company will stay disciplined and keep the permitting risk manageable as it advances the project. Project Beacon may be the clearest test case for how New England's gas constraints are beginning to translate into new infrastructure. Project Beacon is expected to get a good bit of its incremental supply needs from DT Midstream's Millennium, the 1.9 BCF per day, 266-mile pipeline that runs across New York's southern tier, just above the New York-Pennsylvania state line, from the Corning Independence Area to the Ramapo, New York, interconnect in Rockland County, where Millennium connects into AGT. Beacon is sourcing its supply from Millennium, a point called Ramapo on Millennium. So we're very supportive of the Beacon project, DT Midstream CEO David Slater said on the company's July 30th earnings call. As that project commercializes, those shippers are speaking directly with Millennium to bring incremental supply to the receipt point on that project. The Millennium pipeline, which is 52.5% owned by DT Midstream and 47.5% by TC Energy, formerly TransCanada, is advancing one expansion while continuing to evaluate a second. The 70 million cubic feet per day repurposing to Ramapo, or R2R, expansion reached a final investment decision, or FID, earlier this year and remains on schedule for service in Q1 2027. The project is supported by long-term contracts with two utilities and an existing power plant. Millennium is also developing Millennium PRO, a larger expansion that would add looping and new compression, although that project remains in the early planning stages, with no FID or construction schedule announced. Keep in mind that Millennium PRO requires New York State regulatory approval. As we discussed in our blog called All We Are Saying Is Give NYSE a Chance, New York finally approved Williams Cause, long-stalled Northeast Supply Enhancement Project last year, but the Empire State is still a particularly challenging place to get major energy projects permitted. When asked about Millennium PRO on the recent earnings call, DT Midstream Slater described it as being complementary to Project Beacon. You can almost think of the two projects as tandem projects. As Beacon commercializes, that's going to drive incremental opportunity on Millennium. In addition to Project Beacon and the Millennium expansions, there are a couple other projects worth keeping in mind. Number 1. The Iroquois Gas Transmission System, which moves Canadian gas south across upstate New York to New England, and New York's Long Island, is moving ahead with its expansion by compression, or XKE, which received New York air permits in 2025, and is designed to add about 125 million cubic feet per day of capacity on the existing system through the addition of more compression, with service targeted for 2027 to 2028. Number 2. The bigger wildcard is the Wright Interconnect Project, or WIP, which Iroquois is seeking to reauthorize as part of Williams's effort to revive the long-stalled Constitution pipeline. WIP would enable the northern terminus of Constitution to tie into both Iroquois and the Tennessee gas pipeline system, the latter of which also flows into New England. Constitution and WIP were originally certificated by FERC in 2014 but never built. For New England, this extra capacity could mean fewer winter price spikes and a more resilient power grid heading into a period of rising data center demand. If Beacon and the Millennium expansion stay on track, they would mark a shift from years of stalled greenfield proposals toward a more pragmatic, brownfield-led approach. We'll be watching closely as Enbridge moves Beacon from open season success to binding commitments and as DT Midstream advances its Millennium projects through the permitting process. Step by Step was written by Maurice Starr and appears as the first song on New Kids on the Block's fourth studio album of the same name. The song's lyrics give five reasons, step by step, on how to win over a girl's affection over time. Released as the first single from the album in May 1990, it went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart and has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Personnel on the record were Jordan Knight, lead vocals, Jonathan Knight, Danny Wood, Donnie Wahlberg, Joey McIntyre, backing vocals, Maurice Starr, programming, Leo Okeke, drum programming, and Yasko Kubota, Mark Doyle, Richard Mendelson, Michael Johnson, additional programming. The album, Step by Step, was recorded between September 1989 and April 1990 at Unique Recording Studios in New York City and produced by Maurice Starr. Released in June 1990, it went to number one on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified platinum by the RIAA. Seven singles were released from the LP. New Kids on the Block are an American male vocal group formed in Dorchester, Massachusetts, by producer, songwriter and talent scout Maurice Starr. Originally conceived as a boy band, the group included vocalists/brothers Jonathan and Jordan Knight, Joey McIntyre, Donnie Wahlberg and Danny Wood. Maurice Starr, Larry Curtis Johnson, had previously been the creator of the early 1980s vocal group New Edition, and was famously fired and sued by the group in 1983 after paying the band members less than $2 apiece following a lengthy tour. New Kids on the Block have released 8 studio albums, 7 compilation albums, an EP, and 32 singles. They have sold more than 80 million records worldwide. They have won 2 American Music Awards, 10 Billboard Music Awards, an MTV Video Music Award, and have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The group split up in 1994 and reunited in 2008. Donnie Wahlberg, the older brother of actor Mark Wahlberg, has an extensive resume as a television actor. He is currently the star of the hit television police drama Boston Blue. Jordan Knight, Joey McIntyre, and Danny Wood have all had successful solo music careers outside of New Kids on the Block. New Kids on the Block continue to record and tour and will begin a residency at Park MGM in Las Vegas in October.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.